As Minister of Arts and Heritage for Ireland, I have to think that might be kind of an easy job, considering how popular Irish music and culture is, especially in the U.S. Is the focus of your position typically as sort of a public relations person for Ireland in foreign countries?
It's certainly part of it, but we depend a lot on foreign direct investment, and that's why we have companies, I suppose, like Coca-Cola and UPS from around the Atlanta area in Ireland. American companies, for example, they're over 500 now in Ireland. They employ up to 100,000 people. So American investment is very important in Ireland. So when I go out, when I travel abroad, I obviously promote Irish culture, but also I promote Ireland as a location for investment, as an attractive place to come if you want to set up an industry, because you have access to a whole European market of half a billion people. So I have twin purpose: to support and promote Irish culture, obviously, to recognize the efforts of the many groups, Irish people who are promoting the culture here in the US, for example, but also to promote the bigger message as well, that Ireland is in business, that it's a very good place to invest in, that there's a huge yield for potential American investors in Ireland. So it's a twin purpose, really.
What's on your agenda for your visit while you're in Atlanta? What will you be doing in Atlanta?
Well, I'm going to be very, very busy. I'll be obviously meeting with Coca-Cola and others. Then I'll be meeting with Oldcastle as well. Their headquarters is in Atlanta, and they're one of the largest Irish employers in the U.S. And I suppose it's worth noting that there are over 200 Irish companies now in the U.S., and they employ up to 85,000 people. So Irish investment in the U.S. is very, very important. We're, I think, the 13th largest investors in the U.S. So that's obviously very important for those communities that are affected and benefit from Irish investment. So I'll be meeting those people, Oldcastle as well. And obviously, I'll be meeting with a number of people involved in education, involved in industry. We are trying to attract more graduates, undergraduates, back to Irish universities. We're trying to attract people back to study in Ireland, to do not only Irish studies, but also to study, obviously, technology as well, and to study languages. And at the moment, that's proven to be very lucrative, I suppose, enterprise now for Ireland. We attract something like 7,000 American students every year back to Ireland to study, and we hope to expand in that. And also there, obviously, we will be promoting Irish culture. There is a very, very dynamic individual coming as well to Atlanta the weekend, a man called Liam O'Connor. Now, he's one of the most successful entertainers in Ireland. He did participate with Michael Flatley in Lord of the Dance, which was a very big show and a very successful show. Michael Flatley was very much involved in Riverdance initially, so then he created his own dance, Lord of the Dance, and Liam O'Connor was very much part of that. So Liam will be performing here in Atlanta as well, and he's bringing out a group of dancers with him, and he certainly puts on a really very, very attractive and exciting show. So that's going to be another feature. And I'm doing a reedling as well at Father O'Reilly's monument. That's in Trinity Avenue, and people probably would know Father O'Reilly as being the person, the priest, that convinced or persuaded General Sherman in the Civil War not to destroy all the churches in Atlanta, the Catholic churches at that time. So he's a very, very important figure, obviously. And I'll be paying a visit as well to the governor's office, and I will be meeting with the governor. So I regard that as being very important. And so I'm going to be very busy, and obviously I'll be participating in the parade as well. And I understand that this year parade is going to be bigger and better than ever. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Is St. Patrick's Day a bigger celebration day in the U.S. than it is in Ireland? Here in the U.S., for example, Americans celebrate Cinco de Mayo with much more fanfare many Mexicans in Mexico do. And I'm wondering if, you know, St. Patrick's Day in the U.S. is, it really is sort of a big party time, isn't it?
Well, it is, very much so. And St. Patrick's Day in New York, for example, the Irish just take over Manhattan on that day. I participated in it 2 years ago, and I must say it was a very moving occasion, and it was a spectacular event. And right across America, I've been to places like Chicago and to San Diego in the past. And I must say the people here, the Irish people and the general population, they really get involved in it, and they make it a special day. And it's when, I suppose, Ireland really and the brand that is Ireland captures a lot of attention. And at that particular time, the 17th of March, a lot of support as well. So it enables people just to associate with Ireland for that day. But in Ireland, the emphasis on St. Patrick's Day certainly is growing. And most communities now, towns and villages, they all have their own parades. And they put in a major effort into doing proper floats and having quality events, quality floats, and especially expressing, I suppose, their Irishness, and even local traditions as well, be it in culture, be it in music, be it in agriculture, for example. Most of the parades would be very reflective of a particular type of tradition that might be associated with a particular place. So the parades in Ireland, including Dublin, are getting much bigger, are better organized now, and also are of much better quality as well. And people really make a major effort to try to bring out the best in the parade and express what's best about their Irishness on that particular day. In the capacity, actually, as Minister for the Arts and Heritage, I've proposed to government that we make St. Patrick's Day an international day of Irish culture, and maybe even make the whole week an international week of Irish culture. Now, it is already, but what I would like to do is maybe formalize it more and have a database of all of the various events throughout the world so that people can refer to it. And even for those people who would like to perform at certain parades, there would be a database and contact people to refer to if they wanted to participate or provide their skills or services or talents for a certain debate. So it's going to even to become bigger in the Irish calendar in future. So we're really trying to organize maybe St. Patrick's Day parades in other places. Say in Argentina, for example, where you have a strong Irish community, we hope to build up a major parade in Argentina and other parts of South America. And even Mexico, there is that connection. So it's going to become a bigger occasion. And it's one time of the year where Ireland captures a lot of attention, where brand Ireland makes a lot of noise, I suppose. And so it's very important from our point of view because we are so dependent on foreign direct investment, also because we are so dependent on tourists coming to Ireland, people coming to Ireland to support our tourism industry and the people involved in it. So it provides a great opportunity for us to capitalize on this day, great day, one of the best in the world, I suppose, when you consider it in the global context, in order to benefit more from that special day.
Do you think there's been too much emphasis, at least in the U.S., put on beer consumption, drinking alcohol on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I think that has moved on as well, and there's an effort made in New York this year, for example, to try to limit the level of beer intake as much as possible. And actually, people that don't drink, they were, I understand, in contact with the organizers, and just to let them, make them aware as well that they wanted to feel part of this great celebration, but at the same time, they didn't have to drink to be part of it. So there is a big, I think, reappraisal of the level of drink consumption in, I suppose, certain celebrations. For example, 2 years ago, a major celebration in the south side of Chicago was cancelled because of antisocial behavior the previous year. I understand that it's back on track again, But I happened to be in Chicago at that time, and when I was asked by a local television station, did I agree with cancelling the parade, I certainly said I did, because St. Patrick's Day is not about drink. It's not about promoting Ireland from any negative point of view. It's about promoting Ireland from a very positive point of view. And we have so much, I suppose, to show the world. We have a very, very distinctive tradition. We have very distinctive music, for example, and culture. And also, we have a very special country to promote to the world as well and to invite people to. So St. Patrick's Day is much bigger than just a drinking celebration. The Irish people and the Irish nation is just, it's more than just a nation of drinkers. It represents a people that are quite creative, that are hardworking, and that like to celebrate and enjoy themselves, but they can do that without having, I suppose, to abuse alcohol. But of course, it's always nice to have a drink with your friends, and that's fine, provided that people drink in moderation, which I think that they're doing now. That connection between Ireland and the Irish and maybe the abuse of alcohol, I think that's not as pronounced anymore as it maybe used to be one time.
Ireland, perhaps more than any country in the European Union, has suffered the most from the recent recession. I mean, several years ago, as you know, Ireland was like making headlines. Its economy was for prosperity and job growth. People were moving to the cities in Ireland looking for great jobs. And then, you know, the bottom fell out, and, you know, the banks there have hit rock bottom with their credit ratings. The European Union now has put forth a budget discipline treaty that outlines measures for member states to take to get their financial house in order and penalties for those who don't subscribe to those measures. Ireland is going to allow the public to vote yay or nay on that treaty. Has a date been set yet for that?
Well, it hasn't, but it probably will be before the summer recess of the Dáil. But basically, we're following a program at this moment of time where we are trying to get our budget deficit, and that's our target, down to 3% of our GDP by 2015. And we're on target to do that, because at this moment of time, we're getting money from the European Central Bank and from the IMF. We get something like 350 million every week to keep our country going, to keep our services going, be it education or welfare or health. And so that's very important. So we have to follow a program in order to get that money. And so we are pursuing a very tight fiscal policy at this moment of time. So the discipline that this new treaty will impose on us is nothing different than what we're doing at the moment anyway. So I would hope that it will be passed, and that we won't be the ones in Europe that will reject it. Anyway, if we do, it just goes on without us. So it's very important that we remain very much part of Europe, that we are part of the European recovery, which I'm convinced will happen. So for that reason, and for many other reasons, I think it's going to be very important that we pass this referendum, and obviously the sooner the better in that sense.
Do you think the average voter in Ireland will have read the treaty?
I think they will. It's quite simple. Other treaties have been very complicated, but this is quite simple, and it spells out quite clearly what's expected of future Irish governments as regards the rules of engagement, and all of Europe will have to abide by these rules as well. So it will ensure that what happened in the past, what you mentioned previously there, that all of this reckless spending, unsustainable developments, the type of money that was put into building houses when there was no need of them really, and other infrastructure developments, that we won't be able to do that in the future, and that we will have to be very prudent with how we spend our money, the taxpayers' money, and also the European Union money as well. So it'll just impose a discipline on us as regards, I suppose, how we look after our economy, and it's more of housekeeping than anything else. But I'm sure that here in America, the same, I suppose, principles could prevail as well, maybe with your federal budget, and that's what you're trying to arrive at too, I understand, from just reading the Financial Times and so on. But there's nothing to fear here. It really, it's good from the point of view of imposing a discipline on us, but also for future generations. It's very unfair to saddle them with debt for the future that will obviously prevent opportunities for future governments to provide incentives for job creation and other services in education or health or whatever. So this is really critical for our future. So I hope, and I'm sure, and it reflects actually in opinion polls that people do get it and that they will support the treaty when it goes to referendum.
Well, as we approach St. Patrick's Day, do you have an Irish blessing you can share with our audience?
Well, I suppose we have several blessings, I suppose. One is Le Gach Da Gui, and that's with every good wish to all of you.
Jimmy Dinahan is Minister for Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht, if I'm pronouncing that right.
That's right. Very good.
Mr. Dinahan, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.